Swing, fly ball out to left and deep, but playable. Pham and Cruz. It'll be Cruz near the notch to make the catch. One pitch later, Skeens threw six scoreless innings. What a magnificent pitcher. Pittsburgh celebrates Paul Skeens with a standing ovation in line for back-to-back wins.
Oh, boy. What a week it was, Sean. What a week it was. And I'm not talking about the Pirates or the Steelers. I'm talking about me. I was up in the mountains of West Virginia, one of the highest points in West Virginia, down by Elkins, down by Buchanan. Is that what the name of that place?
Yeah, I've been there before.
You have? What were you doing there?
I was trying to broadcast a college softball tournament.
Trying to? Couldn't get a signal?
Yeah, it's kind of wilderness there.
I mean, this week, I think it changed me. I do, for the better. I'll call it an adventure week up in West Virginia.
You look rejuvenated.
I do. I actually look pretty good, don't
I? You do, yes.
No, I don't. Now that I look in the camera, I don't look that
good.
When
I walked in, I didn't even recognize you. You look like a much younger man now.
Do I?
I think so.
You know what happened? I lost 20 pounds, not in 1 week, but in a month and a half.
Congratulations.
You know what else I did this past week in West Virginia?
You golfed.
Not at all. No, it was more of, like I said, adventure. I swam in cold water, freezing cold water in a cave, if you can believe that.
That does not sound like you.
I know. Well, that's the whole point. Who wants to be like me? Certainly not me. I want to be somebody different. I rappelled off giant rocks at Seneca Rocks. I won't say I went up very high, but I did rappel off the rocks. I was in what you would call a sweat lodge, which is like a steaming sauna, and probably dropped 5 pounds. I was a puddle by the end of it. Remember when the Wicked Witch of the West just melted into a puddle?
Yeah.
In The Wizard of Oz? That was me at the end of this thing.
That happens to snowmen sometimes, too.
Often. Yeah, it happened to Frosty, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't that at one point? And then
I
came back to life.
I tried to block that out of my memory, yeah. Very sad moment.
Don't you dare play the Mulsey song of Frosty the Snowman. No, I don't want you to. I met a man named Mark, who's out there somewhere, who's a big Detlef Schrempf fan, believe it or not. Remember him, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Supersonics and Pacers.
Great player.
Great haircut.
Great haircut as well. A man named Tommy, who sounded just like Howard Stern. It was incredible. And a man named Hayden who just travels the world. He doesn't really have a home. He just goes places and lives. Now he's living in Berlin. So I met all these different people on my adventure, and I do come home a different man, you might say. And you confirmed it by saying I look different, which is great feedback for me to hear early on a Monday morning. Thank you, Sean.
You're very welcome.
What are we going to talk about? I got a better question. What aren't we going to talk about?
I think there's a lot of topics we can discuss.
There's no Bob. Where is Bob? People were ripping me for taking 2 out of 3 weeks off. When was the last time Bob was seen here?
It's been months, I think.
It feels like it.
Yeah. So probably in the spring, I would imagine.
Yeah. So Bob is gone. City Limits is nowhere to be found. Where did he go? To some broadcasting camp
Maybe,
or something?
Wiffle
or,
ball. I'm not sure.
A wiffle ball?
That's usually a good bet.
So it's me and Sean Myers today. I'm really happy to be back. I do feel great. It was a very, very adventurous week. I don't think you were surprised enough that I rappelled off a rock. Do you know what that's like?
That's pretty bold.
You know what you do? You clip on that harness, sort of. You start climbing with somebody down below. I guess it's called a belay. Did you know that?
No. So is their job to just make sure something terrible doesn't happen?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll admit I was very, very, very scared. I only made it up maybe, I don't know, 40 feet, 50 feet or something. That's pretty
still
high.
That's a lot, yeah.
If that high. But the point was that I let go up there and rappelled backwards, Sean. Is somebody calling in with an emergency already? What's going on here? And man, it felt great. I'll tell you, it felt great. The whole week felt great. I am a rejuvenated man. I feel like I'm a little more open-minded this week on the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Man, is he saying all the right things so far, but that's not where I want to start. I want to start with the Pirates. going to show everybody my shirt here, Sean. It's a 79 Pirates shirt, as you can see. You like it?
It's a nice shirt, yeah. Now, that is not from the 70s, I'm assuming, right? That's a more recent purchase.
Yeah, although I do still have Pirate memorabilia from the 70s. And I think it's only right that we open up with just a little bit of Dave Parker, because just that name brings pleasant memories to me of a rather pleasant childhood and watching Dave Parker, idolizing Dave Parker. He was the coolest, I thought, athlete in all of sports in the 1970s. Totally intimidating. Played in a hockey mask, for God's sakes, when he broke his jaw. Had that earring, had that contract, had that bat, had that arm, had that speed early in his career. If you plucked him out right out of his prime, 77, 78, 79, you're not going to find many baseball players ever who were more the epitome of a five-tool player. So in praise of Dave Parker, and this is going to lead into a trade deadline story, believe it or not, in praise of Dave Parker, we present his son, I believe Dave the second. And I think it's the second. Yeah. He spoke for his dad, Dave Parker, yesterday, who sadly passed away pretty recently. And he relayed a poem that Dave Parker wrote, I believe, in case he wasn't around when he finally made it to the Hall of Fame. And man, it was great.
Does that mean you want me to play it now?
Yep.
Okay.
Pops wanted me to leave everyone with this poem that he wrote, that he gave me a long time ago. And he said if he ever made it here, to read it. So that's what I'm about to do. Here I am, 39, about damn time. I know I had to wait a little, but that's what you do with fine age wine. I'm a pirate for life. Wouldn't have it no other way. That was my family, even though I didn't go on parade day. I love y'all. The Bucks own my heart. Because those two championships I got, y'all played in the first part. I'm in the hall now. You can't take that away. That statue better look good. You know I got a pretty face. Top tier athlete, fashion icon, sex symbol. No reason to list the rest of my credentials. I'm him, period, the Cobra, known for my rocket arm, and I will run any catcher over. To my friends, families, I love y'all. Thanks for staying by my side. I told y'all Cooperstown would be my last ride. So the Star of Dave will be in the sky tonight. Watch it glow. But I didn't lie. On my documentary, I told y'all I wouldn't show. Thank you.
Just awesome. That was R.I.P. Dave Parker, and so glad that you made it even posthumously where you belong, which is the Baseball Hall of Fame. And for me, and I would imagine for a lot of people, it leads into the topic of today's Pirates and the state that they are in. Bob Smizek tweeted out the other day, surely you remember, Bob, if you're of a certain age, that, oh my God, look at O'Neill Cruz. From first to home, he made it in 9 seconds. Look at that highlight. Did you see that yesterday?
Did not even draw a throw to the plate.
I know.
On a, I think it turned out just to be a single, and he was at first, right? Now, he was on the move, I think, before the pitch, but you can see his ability is, you know, top 1% of all of Major League Baseball in some regards.
9 seconds? It would take me 9 minutes to get from first to home. That is some serious speed. But here we are with the Pirates. And Smizek tweeted out, will there ever be another Pirate to get into the Hall of Fame? Will there ever be another one? And of course, the reflexive reaction is to say, yeah, Skeens. Oh, wait. Of course, Skeens is going to be gone. And now they're showing the lowest ERA through the first 45 career starts ever. Freddie Shupp, Ron remembers him from 1913 to 17 at 164. Ernie Shore, in 1914 and 15 at 178, and Paul Blankenskeens is third right now. Right now, he's third all time in ERA through his first 45 starts. And here we sit at a trade deadline. Yeah, wondering what the Pirates will do, what they should do, but also, for me at least, a combination of sort of enraged and just incredibly sad, especially juxtaposed against great teams like the 79 Pirates, with how they've squandered this opportunity. It's sickening, actually, how they've squandered it. Their big offseason moves were Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and Spencer Horwitz. How Ben Cherington wasn't fired with Derek Shelton is one of the most astounding things I've seen in sports. I mean, that's miracle on ice stuff. How did that happen? How does he survive? And I feel horribly for Pirates fans out there about how they just completely butchered their offseason because they weren't willing. Bob Nutting wasn't willing to spend enough, and Ben Cherington is incompetent. That's a really bad combination. Not a lot of money and not a lot of skill in how to build a baseball team the way that other teams on shoestring budgets build them. But he's still here, Cherington, and we're at the trade deadline, and the Pirates have one of the greatest pitchers of all time through 45 starts. I mean, I know we've said that, but sometimes you see a number and you watch him yesterday and you're like, oh my God, they have one of the greatest pitchers of all time, ever, since the sport was invented. And they're doing nothing with it. In fact, they're getting worse. They've gotten worse since last year, which is another miracle. What are they doing? And how much longer will Skeens even be here? The clock is already ticking. This is such an opportunity. So basically, really, year two of Skeens. They've squandered 2 years of Skeens. Not even to 500 yet. We don't have time. They don't have time to wait around for Connor Griffin and Termar Johnson. I don't know when they're getting here. I don't even know if Johnson is still a highly rated prospect. Griffin sure is, but he plays for a team called the Grasshoppers right now, does he not? The Crickets? The Grasshopper? Well, where is he?
I think it's the Grasshoppers.
Yeah,
even if you're optimistic, it's hard to envision him making a major impact to help this team before 2027, I would imagine. Maybe he
probably
comes up next year, but are you getting a full year of top-notch production from him? Maybe, but I wouldn't count on it.
You can't count on it at this point. I mean, he looks like he's the number one prospect in all of baseball. But I don't know when he's getting here. I don't know what it's going to be like at AAA and then the majors. I have no idea. They need to focus on next season as an all-in year. They need to treat this deadline almost like they're a contending team. Kind of. The problem with that is that there's not a lot of attractive veteran bats out there. Guys with control left on their contracts. There's just not a lot of them. You know, you look up and down the list. Jeff Passan put together one on ESPN. You can join the conversation, by the way, at 412-928-9370. I feel terrible for Pirate fans. I really do. The more you watch Skeens, the more you realize he's getting better now. Like, he got off to an un-Skeens-like start, even though he was still great. And even though he's like, you know, what was he then? 20 starts into his career, it felt like he wanted to be better than he was. And then all of a sudden, he's just unhittable, and he's only getting better. This is different from other phenoms that I've seen in my lifetime because they were all about, most of them, all about power. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, Dwight Gooden was going to blow you away with 100 miles an hour and a devastating curveball. This guy comes in And I think he has the greatest arsenal of pitches, or one of them, that I've ever seen. I think of somebody like Pedro Martinez for sure. But it could be anything on a given day. Yesterday, he didn't even barely use the splinker. He'll go 100 if you want, if he wants, or close to it. And then he's got, it feels like, five or six other pitches, and he pitches like a guy who's been in the league for 15 years. I've never seen anything like it. And neither have a lot of people who have been around the game and in the game for longer than I have, or certainly in the game deeper than I have. He is the literal definition of a phenom, and they're flushing the whole thing right down the toilet, is what they're doing. They're flushing this whole thing down the toilet. So it's time to take some sort of action. And I hear people out there now worried about trading Mitch Keller. It'll be okay. Trust me. If Mitch Keller can fetch you a bat and you put him in combination with Bednar, who's been great, who's been lights out, but we all know with relief pitchers, they can be very mercurial. It's up and down all the time. You know, who would be surprised if Bednar had a bad ending to the season or started out badly next? You can always get a closer. One thing the Pirates have done in the 21st century is find closers. I ain't worried about that. And I'm not worried about Mitch Keller either. And if Mitch Keller can go out and fetch you a bat, what's the problem? Somebody please tell me, we're going to get cold feet on Mitch Keller now? Have you seen what that guy's done in August and September of the last couple of years? He's crumbled down the stretch both times. You're going to worry about a two or three starter? They have Skeens. They have Bubba Chandler, a top 10 prospect still, who's pitching well again, by the way, who are going to anchor that rotation at some point, hopefully. Probably not next year, though. They'll get Jared Jones back. Oviedo's knocking at the door of AAA. They have Burroughs, Ashcraft. And another thing, maybe the only thing that Charrington has shown he can do, is go out and get guys to fill out the rotation pretty adequately. I'm not worried about Mitch Keller. Now, the problem, before I went into that little diatribe, was it's awfully tough to find hitters who are controllable. Stephen Kwan is one that Jeff Passan lists. An all-star the last 2 years, a gold glove winner, a left fielder. Not really a power hitter at all, but a two-time all-star. Cleveland doesn't want to deal him, Passan writes, but with a dearth of available bats, the Guardians, at the very least, we'll have to listen if teams are willing to blow them away with offers. That's what you want. Give them an offer they can't refuse. I believe he has 2 years of club control. That's all you need around here, because it's going to be about 2-3 years of Skeens too before we start talking trade, and I don't know when it'll actually happen. But you can trust me on this. The Pirates aren't going to shell out $500 million to keep Paul Skeens. That's like 19 years of payroll for them. That's not happening. Jaron Duran is another guy, Red Sox, who has a little bit of control left. Good player, but he just really doesn't do it for me.
Last year, he was incredible.
He was great.
He's taken a big step back.
But doesn't that year seem like an outlier?
Well, I think that's the only reason why Boston's willing to move off of him at this point. Yeah. I think he would be the answer. Now, I think you would have to give up Keller, Bednar, and maybe even something else to get him. But I think that's probably the guy if you're Pittsburgh. That said, you're going to have to shell out some money within a few years to keep him.
Well, you're not going to do that, whatever you're doing. But really, though, Sean, I don't know. His career OPS is still below 800. He's a good player. He has 1 year of over 20 homers. He's only got 9 this year. He doesn't do it for me. And I actually wouldn't give up Keller and Bednar to get him. I wouldn't. He was really good last year. But still, 21 homers? You know, he was really good, but it feels like that was an outlier season. And that
I'll give you a counter argument.
Yeah.
I know WAR is not the end all be all, yeah, right? Because it's no one even knows how it's calculated. His WAR last year was 8.7. I bet if you look at Keller's entire career, he has not surpassed 8.7 cumulatively.
Sure. But,
so one
but,
season
but again,
of Durant's at his best was better than Keller's entire career.
But one season at his best is all he's had. Like, he's sitting here with nine. If you're telling me they're bringing in a guy with a 259 average and nine homers, I don't know.
That's
but yes,
true, but
reasonable people can disagree on that. But
he's
that's
clearly an above average hitter in Major League Baseball who also brings really good speed and
yeah.
would probably be at this point the Pirates' best hitter. I know you could say Cruz has more potential. There's no doubting that, but he would be their best hitter, I think.
Reasonable people can disagree on that.
It's a low bar because they don't really have many good hitters at this
right.
point.
Here's what I'm way more interested in. And this came from Bob Nightingale in his Sunday notebook. The Cubs, and I know interdivision trades can get weird. I don't know. Here's what I do know. And I quote, "The Cubs desperately want another starter at the deadline, targeting Mitch Keller of the Pirates, and would include outfield prospect Owen Casey to make it work." Now you're talking. Now we're talking. Casey is considered, I think he's up to number 36, actually, on MLB pipeline. Got an OPS of 940 with 20 homers, 46 RBIs for AAA Iowa. Believe me, I know. We've seen enough hitters who can hit in AAA who can't hit here. Henry Davis being number one on that list. What is he down to? Microscopic. I think his average is so low, you can't even figure it out without some kind of computer program. He's down to like 171 or something. I get it. But this kid, from everything I read, see, and hear, is getting blocked because of the talent the Cubs already have in their outfield. This, I would be all over. All over this to get him. Somebody knocking on the door at AAA is what I would be looking at. I know we mentioned Spencer Jones last week, limits, or 2 weeks ago, vehemently disagreed. All he's done is continue to crush the ball at AAA, a 6'7 slugger. Would I love to get an established, really good major league player in exchange for Mitch Keller? Yes, I would. I'm just not sure, A, you're going to get it, and B, that the marketplace is really offering that. Sean may be right. Sean may be right. Or maybe it could be Stephen Kwan. But I'd rather have a potential star who appears to only not be in the majors because they're getting blocked. And I would be all over Owen Casey. Sean?
The concern is, do you believe that Sherrington's the right guy to identify guys that are on the cusp that will then succeed at the major league level when you're talking about hitting? Because we know he's been able to find pitchers.
Well, the short answer to that is no, but he's here. So you can't just not do anything. You can't.
I agree.
You have to go out and make a deal, and he's going to have to be the guy to do it. And if I'm Bob Nutting, I'm saying you're going to rely. Is there anybody in this organization who does know hitting? I don't know. They should have gone out and hired some sort of senior consultant to advise, in quotes, Charrington on some of these people. But this kid, I mean, he's 23. He's ready to be in the majors. You call him right up. He's gone from AA to AAA, and he's ascending the way that star hitters do. You know, AA, 918 OPS, AAA last year, 848, AAA this year, 940. Okay, he's crushing home runs. He's got 61 of them over the last 3 years here in, you know, about 200, 300 games. He's got 61 home runs and a pretty healthy slugging percentage, I might add. Strikes out a lot, but who cares? Everybody does these days. Something, the bottom line here is something has to be done, I will say now or this offseason. And the time to strike might be now. Everybody seems to think the offseason is the way to go. Oh, you can always make a better deal in the offseason. Here's the thing about the offseason is that everybody's had a chance to sit down for a while and think soberly about their team's situation. right now you have bunches of teams because of all the wild cards out there and everything else who think they can win and who are drunk on the idea of being the Texas Rangers and, you know, and limping into a playoff like they did and winning a World Series that year. 2 years ago, was it? Two years ago, maybe?
And by the way, they traded a boatload to get a closer at that deadline.
There you go.
And Aroldis Chapman. They gave away a guy who's basically a number one starting pitcher now.
Exactly. And so now might be the time, the really ideal time to strike. Because the Pirates are wasting the career of not a great player, not a guy who's going to be a perennial all-star, Maybe one of the greatest pitchers of all time is here right now. Right this second. You saw him yesterday. Strike out 9 6 innings. He didn't even have his best stuff. Did he get any first pitch strikes? It seemed like he got almost none. And yet, when he needed something, he pulled it out of the bag and finished with a shutout again. And now he's sitting here through 45 games with one of the greatest stat lines that baseball has ever seen. It's time. It's time to help him. It's time to help you out there. At least try. And then I hear Ben Cherington yesterday, and as always, I'm completely flummoxed and in need of a linguist to translate what he said. I have no idea what he said. Can we listen to Cherington for a moment, Sean?
Yes, we can.
Ben, how risk averse are you considering the urgency? And what I mean by that is, you know, if somebody wants to give you a top 100 that doesn't have a major league at bat, there's still, with the gap from AAA to the big leagues, as we've heard, being as big as ever, there's some inherent risk if you would be giving up a bona fide player for somebody that is otherwise unproven, as talented as they may be.
Sure. I don't think we can be risk averse. I don't think that's going to work in Pittsburgh.
I don't think we can be risk averse. I don't think that's going to work in Pittsburgh. So he's putting out there, you know, that I'm dealing with constraints here in Pittsburgh, which everybody knows. Okay, if you can't be risk averse, what have you been to this point?
I feel like every offseason signing has been a risk averse type of move.
Exactly. Have they made a high risk trade? Am I forgetting about one? Luis Ortiz ain't high risk.
No.
For Spencer Horwitz. Who did they trade for De La Cruz last year at the deadline? What is this guy? I don't remember. What is this guy talking about? We can't be risk averse here in Pittsburgh. Okay, but that's exactly what you've been for 6 years. Please change. Let's hear this whole thing from the beginning again. I'm speechless on this guy at this point.
Ben, how risk averse are you considering the urgency? And what I mean by that is, you know, if somebody wants to give you a top 100 that doesn't have a major league at bat, there's still, with the gap from AAA to the big leagues, as we've heard, being as big as ever, there's some inherent risk if you would be giving up a bona fide player for somebody that is otherwise unproven, as talented as they may be.
Sure. I don't think we can be risk averse. I don't think that's going to work in Pittsburgh. If we want to win, we're going to have to assume risk. And with risk comes downside to that, obviously. If it doesn't work out, we get criticized. That's okay. I don't think we can win without assuming that risk, though. Now, it's case by case, right? Like, you know, we don't need to or will assume massive risk on every single decision. But, we're going to have to be willing to assume risk, I believe, to win. And that risk can come in different forms.
All right. Good. Then it's time. Then it's time. And you would think a guy whose job surely should be on the line would be swinging for the fences. What does he have to lose at this point? And some people might say, yeah, that's a danger. You go out and make, you know, some idiotic trade where you're getting rid of really good players for a lottery ticket. I don't care at this point. I want him to take a big swing. Obviously not something completely idiotic, but I don't think that Mitch Keller and Bednar for Owen Casey and somebody else from the Cubs is, you know, madness here. In fact, a big swing is necessary. It's needed. Ideally, you'd love to just go out and solve your problems with money, but this isn't 1979 anymore where every team's spending the same. I wish it was. And I wish Bob Nutting would spend more, especially right now. If he was ever going to spend, this would, well, last offseason would have been the offseason to splurge on one guy. And when I say splurge, nobody's talking Juan Soto money. How about $20 million a year for a player? How about $15 million a year for a player on the open market? How about anything when you have one of the greatest pitchers of all time through 45 starts? Please, please do something. 412-928-9370. Are you among those getting cold feet on Mitch Keller? David Bednar? Because I'm hearing some of that. Like, wait a second, they already have these guys, and the Pirates always get rid of their good players. When are they going to keep them? Well, that's not entirely true, first of all. That narrative just isn't entirely true. As I've said many times, before O'Neill Cruz came along, the three most talented prospects coming through the system that I've seen around here this whole quarter century have been Starling, Marte, McCutchen, and Polanco, and they signed all three up through their free agent years. Their first couple, anyway, didn't work out. Polanco forgot how to play baseball. Marte got himself suspended for a year, and McCutchen faded. But they did sign them. They thought Key Brian Hayes was going to be a really good player. They signed him. They signed Keller. The problem isn't keeping their good players. The last guy that I really, really cared about, thought was going to be great, that they got rid of was Gerrit Cole. So yeah, when it comes to the 200, 300, and in Skeen's case, $500 million players, they're not going to keep them. I don't worry about the Pirates keeping decent young talent, good young talent. I worry about them developing it, drafting it, developing it, finding it in the cracks out there. That's what I worry about, not keeping it. My God, the Milwaukee Brewers trade good players every year. Every single year they trade good players. And yet here they are again, developing their own good players, finding a diamond in the rough like Jackson Chourio, splurging when necessary on a Christian Yelich. And now I see today, tons of teams want shortstops as always, and the Brewers have three guys, three shortstops, rated in the top 35 or 38 prospects in all of baseball. That's what the Brewers do. And they haven't been drafting where the Pirates have been drafting. You know why? Because they win the division every year, and it looks like they're going to do that again.
They should be the blueprint, I think, for Pittsburgh.
Of course they're the blueprint. It's a smaller market than Pittsburgh, and they could have hired, Bob Nutting and Travis Williams could have hired the guy who's running the Brewers right now, Matt Arnold. He was their assistant GM when this job was open. They interviewed him, and they took the wrong guy, the guy you just heard, who says here in Pittsburgh, we can't be risk-averse, and yet I've been risk-averse every second I've been here. It's maddening. 412-928-9370. Please don't tell me you're risk-averse suddenly. As we look at Mitch Keller and David Bednar, and I know but nobody would be risk-averse on Key Brian Hayes, and there's a market for third baseman. Just to get him and that contract out of here would be a great blessing to the organization. Let's talk about all of this with the backdrop being that your Pirates right now at this very second in the present, living totally in the present, have one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Off the Top brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Headed to camp? Well, Donnie Football is out there, or will be. Cool off with an ice cold Miller Lite and meet Donnie Football, broadcasting live at Sharky's on July 30th from 6 to 10. What day is this, Sean? I have no idea.
This is the 28th.
Well, there you go. Donnie Football will be out there in 2 days. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smail Kia and brought to you by Miller Lite. Top of the hour, we're going to get into tons of Steeler camp issues. A great Aaron Rodgers quote from yesterday. Some unbelievable quotes about this defense. But first, the Pirates. And how did they try to salvage the Paul Skeens era? Sean Myers, before I took off for West Virginia for a week, the mountains of West Virginia where I didn't have cell phone service for an entire week, and man, was that a blessing. That just stunned me. I felt like I was literally going through withdrawal for a couple days, checking my pocket.
It's like a bygone era when we didn't have 24/7 communication.
It was a very strange, almost physical withdrawal. It was really, really odd. But I'll tell you, by day three up there and day four, and again, it's one of the highest points in West Virginia, and the stars were amazing. You could see the Milky Way on like three different nights. I never wanted to see the thing again. I really didn't. I think it's one of the worst things that's come along in the world, maybe ever, like devices or machines or in that category. It's just, there are some good uses for it, but mostly I feel like it's just dumbing us down. You know what I mean?
Well, the next wave is this AI that's coming that's going to be even worse than that. But I agree. I mean, I didn't have, as crazy as it sounds, I didn't have a cell phone until midway through my senior year of high school. And now I think most kids get it before they're even 10 years old.
That's the frightening part.
And it's just like, you can't go more than, what, a half an hour, an hour, without compulsively looking at
half
your phone.
A minute for kids. I mean, it's unreal.
Yes. And I know parents that they have to give their phone to their kids so that they can watch videos or play on it at all times, even when they're already
it used to be TV, which I
something.
Guess yes. Isn't that much different when you're that little? But it's just, I don't know, man. I do know this. I was really happy not to have one. It felt like life just opened up again. Anyway, I'm dummied back down here. And the last, I guess my point there was, when last I had a phone and a working television, I was watching the Pirates lose to the White Sox 10-1 and sell the team chants were breaking out all over the place. I'm going to take a wild guess here and say when they lost again 10-4 and again 7-2 on Sunday, those intensified, or what was the story of that weekend?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was during the Mac Miller bobblehead, because that's a game where so many people were there. They were there hours and hours in advance, and the Pirates, you know, had an absolute stinker. And I think actually the Noah Constrictor, who we're going to have on, I believe he tweeted that the three most attended home games this season for the Pirates, which are two of their bobblehead giveaways in their home opener, all three games, there was a flood of sell the team chants at those contests.
I mean, even in this series against Arizona, I mean, they're not like a high-profile opponent. You had crowds of 21-2, 27-4, 20. Everyone was you know, over 20,000 per game, which is sort of amazing when you look at this team. Now, some people would label people who show up to games as suckers. I wouldn't. I like doing it. I wouldn't label them, and I wouldn't want to be labeled that. I don't think it's a fair label. You don't have to be a baseball fan
to enjoy a baseball game, even if your team's not great. So I would never begrudge anyone who goes to those games.
Neither would I. You can both go to the games and demand that the team be better. You know, I love these people who say, just don't show up. Well, no, I want to go. I'm entertained. I'm not going to just not show up at the ballpark. I like it.
And
lots of people
would
apparently
say, well,
do.
I'm not going to let my kid go to a game because the Pirates don't spend enough money. Well, then you're taking away potential joy from a kid. So, I mean, it's every scenario is different.
In the meantime, they are completely squandering Paul Skeens' existence here as one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived through 45 games. The greatest pitcher since the early 1900s by I think, probably the most measurable sort of conventional stat, and that's ERA. He doesn't let other teams score. And he's the greatest pitcher at that through 45 games since like 1914, somewhere in there. What should they do at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. I think the AAA route, as far as getting a high-end prospect like Owen Casey from the Cubs, Spencer Jones from the Yankees, that ilk of player is where I want to go if I'm trading Mitch Keller. There are a couple of options as far as bona fide major leaguers, but the ones that seem to be available are tailing off this season, and you're always going to have issues with years of control with most of those guys. Let's hit the lines, Sean.
All right, we'll head out to Columbus with Jay.
What's up, Jay?
Starkey, most Pirate fans probably don't remember or are not even going to believe this, but the Pirates made Dave Parker their first $1 million professional sports athlete of all time. $1 million. In the 80s, they signed bombs like George Hendricks, Leo Mazzilli, give them outrageous amount of money. In the 90s, they locked up Drabeck, they had Van Slyke, they had Bonds play until last year's of arbitration and made him a pretty competitive offer. And then the McCarthy era, he locked up Jared Kendall. And since probably 2010, after the McCutchen lockup, I mean, this ownership is an embarrassment to baseball. And I can't believe that they developed pitching that good and can't get a good hitting coach. I mean, Henry Davis is the number one overall draft pick. And he's batting .175.
Is it the hitting coach, or is it finding and identifying the right kind of talent?
It's the hitting coach.
The hitting coach is the main problem. They've changed hitting coaches. How many hitting coaches do you want? Yes. They blew out, what's his name, Andy Haynes, and brought in, who is it now? I don't even know.
So all these guys got mental, hitting is mental. Are you trying to tell me that every single stud player that can't hit for the Pirates, and then he goes somewhere and hit 300.
So name one. Name one.
Coach, what is
name
it?
One who's done that.
Oh, geez. I can't off the top of my head.
Oh, it's Matt Haig. How could I forget Matt Haig, the hit collector? I appreciate the call. It's not about the hitting coach. Bring in somebody. Bring in, identify talent better.
If you're depending on your major league hitting coach to completely determine the fate of the guys that are on your team, then something's gone wrong. They can help
now,
a little bit.
Now, yeah, maybe, you know, in a general kind of way, their ability to develop hitters from the ground up here could be problematic. But again, I don't know how much talent they're working with. Now, you can work your way around that by finding hitters who are already established. The best they could do in the offseason was Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and Spencer Horwitz. Those guys like that are revolving around Major League Baseball like the stars that I saw in West Virginia. You just pick one out. There's millions of them.
Those are low-risk moves.
There's millions of them. It go find an impact hitter or two. How come other teams on budgets like this can do it and the Pirates can't? Next.
We'll go to Florida and specifically Fort Lauderdale to hear from Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, great to talk to you as always, Joe. I happened to be last week in Indianapolis. I saw Bubba Chandler throw Thursday. If the Pirates don't call him up, it's like a criminal thing because the guys, I mean, it's like overcooking meat. The guy's ready to go. I mean, it just threw a phenomenal against a Tiger team that had five of their top 30 prospects. But I think the big difference, Joe, between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh is one major area in the front office. And it's a really weird situation in Pittsburgh because Ben Cherington has developed pitching, which is by far the hardest thing to go in baseball. But where he misses, the Brewers actually have a guy from Pittsburgh who's a Pittsburgh connected, Mike Berger, who was the assistant general manager for the Marlins when they developed Stanton, Yelich, and Zuno. And he's assistant now to Matt Arnold in Milwaukee. You also got Doug Melvin, who was a former assistant general manager, and Matt Klentak, who ran the Phillies. And I just don't think Cherington has all these numbers guys and young people and all that stuff that they want in analytics. but he's missing baseball people in his front office. And I think that's a big difference because Berger grew up in Central Catholic High School. He was a teammate of Dan Marino in their 78 team. And Tony LaCava, who's the assistant general manager of the Blue Jays, was a second baseman on that team. And, I mean, you need baseball people besides the analytical people in your front office.
I agree. I agree 1,000%. And the Brewers are just very clearly, I appreciate the call, a smarter organization. They're sitting there in a market smaller than Pittsburgh, 41,000 Friday night, 39,000 Saturday against Miami, 40,000 yesterday. They're 19 games over. Nobody or very few people are picking the Brewers to win this division again. You know why? Because they lose really good players every single year. They're the National League version of the Rays. Like, they're so smart and have such foresight and such ability to develop and ability to find players who might be undervalued by other organizations, and all they do is win.
Their off season, they traded their star closer, mm-hmm. and they saw one of their best hitters, their starting shortstop, leave for a big contract in free agency, and they've come out as seemingly a better team after all that.
And now we're going to have to sit here in a huge series starting tonight, the Brewers and the Cubs, and tomorrow night we're going to have to sit there and watch Quinn Priester, who's 9-2 with a 3.28 ERA. Man, the kicks in the groin never stop. It's like that one GIF where I think it's a karate guy who's squatting and just taking about 1,000 rapid fire kicks right in the groin. You know that one?
That sounds awful.
I think he's a Pirate fan, actually. Next.
We're going to go to Greg in Youngstown.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? I saw that player's stats in the minors. He seems like Sawinski. Strikes out a lot.
Which guy are you talking about?
Who's that guy from the Cubs? What's his name? Hold on.
Casey, Owen Casey.
Yeah. Strikes out a lot. His average is okay. Sawinski was hitting in the minors, too. So my problem is, I don't mind trading Cowler, but you're going to give me two players. I'm not giving you one so you win a World Series. That's not going to happen. Or I'll just keep Cowler.
I'm not sure that Mitch Keller takes you to the World Series either. Would you like to know his stats from the last two seasons when at least...
Well, no, what's he doing this year? Please, this year.
No. He was doing good for the first 3 or 4 months, the last 2 years, too.
No.
Doing great.
Go this year.
I'm not going this year because we haven't hit the biggest months yet. That's why I'm not going this year yet.
So why don't you give the guy credit this year? He's our second best pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in the
league. Good for him. He was good last year, too. And then when the games got important, he had a 6.75 ERA in August.
You want to give up.
And in September, a 6.66 ERA. You want to know the year before?
Listen, I guarantee we trade Cowler, they go to the World Series.